I want to go back and just go back over gifts. I've been talking about the night meetings. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. That's not going to be my main topic today. My main topic is going to be thanksgiving, praise, actually praise. But I didn't quite finish last week on gifts, and so I want to hit 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 just lightly before I go on with the topic I really have for today. Start reading in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, and I'll just read through 7. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have in our freedom in this country. Lord, for the salvation that's brought to us by Jesus Christ, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you for a gathering of Christians that we can worship with and fellowship with while we're here. Bless your word today to each of our hearts, and may it be a blessing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was finishing off on the open meetings and what is there, I did read this. I'd like to go over it again there. It's their diversities of gifts. We do not have the same gifts. Some of us are real good at speaking. Some of us are real good at giving. Some of us are very good at comforting people. Some of us have an ear. We can listen. You know, that's a real gift. People need to be listened to. That's how come the telephones are so important today. I mean, you see them everywhere. These people are driving the car. I had a kid coming around a curve at me, and he was driving with one hand with the phone in his ear, and he's coming around the curve so fast, I thought, oh, I'm dead. I mean, I'm hit. But what we want to talk. We want somebody to listen to us. It's an amazing thing. Someone will think you're a great conversationalist if all you do is just say, They will. They absolutely will. So sometimes there are different gifts. Now, it says there are different administrations, same Lord. Differences, diversities of operations, same God working all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. God did not give you your particular gift so that you could get proud about it. Amen. God did not give you a particular gift so you can brag and say, look, I'm the best speaker, or I'm the best soul winner, or I'm the best street preacher, or I'm the best whatever. He gave a gift to you so you'd be a blessing to the church. Amen. If your gift, the gifts that you have, whatever ones you have, are given you for the blessing of the church, you need an opportunity to exercise that gift. And so that's what you ought to do. You ought to be in the assembly of God. What gifts you have should be serving the Lord, serving the church, and being a blessing to the church. Now notice in verse 8, for one is given the spirit of wisdom. There's some people just wiser than others. And sometimes it's not necessarily age, although age does bring wisdom to quite a few people. I've seen some dumb old men. Okay? And I've seen some old women that didn't learn much in their years. But generally speaking, age will bring wisdom. But there's some people just wise. They may be young and wise. You know what? You need advice sometimes. You may not like to hear advice. You may think, I'm on my own. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. Who are you to tell me anything? You know, it wouldn't hurt you to sit down by a wise man or a wise woman and listen to what they have to say in the way you think. You might think that's real, but that's a blessing in the church, you know. I mean, he's talking about going to court against each other in one place in here. And he says, is it there's not a wise man among you? He said, pick the least one out of the assembly and let him be your judge. Just whatever he says, do it. Rather than go to court and cause all this trouble and all this fight between people and the bitterness and everything like that, just pick one out. Well, I wouldn't say go pick the dumbest, but why don't you pick the wisest you know? Why don't you pick somebody you said, this fellow's been through something. Let me listen to him. He might be able to save me some trouble. Now, I can tell you the truth. My daddy saved me some trouble. And the times I didn't listen to my daddy, I got in trouble. My daddy was a wise man. He didn't have a lot of education. Finished 10th grade. As high as they went in the little place, he wasn't going to go off someplace. He went to work and lost everything in the Depression. I'll tell you something else. The troubles he went through in that Depression, it embittered some people. They couldn't handle them. They hated life. Some of them hated God. It sweetened my dad and mother. See, your experience will either sweeten you or bitter you. It probably won't leave you the same. After you go through the troubles with a child or the troubles with a job or troubles in your own physical body and you go through it and come out the other end, you're going to be changed. You're never going to be the same again. Sometimes, if you handle it right with the right kind of attitude, it'll sweeten you. It'll give you more faith. It'll bless you and you'll be a blessing to somebody else. But I as I've gone through the years and looked back on my dad, I thought everybody had a dad like mine. Everybody had a mother like mine. You're just growing up, you think everybody's family's like yours. Well, I realized that wasn't the truth. I happened to have a very wise father. And what a blessing that was. And I look back on it now and think, if I'd have just sat at his feet a little more. But I'd go over there and boy, we'd knock heads. I'd say, I want to do this. I'm thinking about this. And he'd say, well, I'll punch this hole. And this is what's going to happen if you do that and so on. Well, listen, that helps you make better decisions. Well, we need people like that in the church and people in the church right here. Many churches have a problem in that they're all old people. There are churches in this town. Everybody in there is over 60 years old and some of the others are close to 100. And they wonder why they can't get young people in, because they don't have any old people. I don't have any young people there, all old people. Well, old people feel comfortable, young people wouldn't. There are other churches, it's all young people. It's hop, hop, hip, hip, you know, and jump up and down, have a band and have a rock music with Christian lyrics. I wouldn't enjoy that. So you see, I wouldn't fit. Many of you older folks wouldn't fit. But what do we have as a church? We've got little bitty babies being born. We got young people getting married. We got old men with bald heads and fallen chests. Gravity's taken over. We've got the whole spectrum. So in this church, we have an advantage in a sense that you can go to an older man that's been around. We got a couple of old policemen around here. Hey, they're pretty handy. Did you notice it's pretty nice to talk to an old policeman every once in a while? Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So wisdom. That's one of the gifts you might have. I'm not calling these callings. I'm talking about gifts that God may give you and He may use. Knowledge. Some people just store knowledge. They just remember it. I had a brother-in-law. You give him a fact, boom, he remembered it 40 years later. He just stored knowledge. Now, he wasn't very wise, but he stored a lot of knowledge. There's a difference in the two. All right, to another, faith. Some of you have a stronger faith and you can encourage people who have a weaker faith. Okay? You talked about healing, praise the Lord, miracles, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues. Some of you, I think Amanda can learn a language real easily, and some people can't learn the first one. Haven't got English down yet. Interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God, the Holy Spirit, gives His gifts as He sees fit, and they're to bless the church. They're not, if they are a blessing to you, but they're not necessarily for your blessing. They're to bless the body of Christ, and not every one of us has the same gift. We're not supposed to have it. So it's the diversities of gifts that brings a blessing to the church. I personally believe the church will supply everything you really need. If the church is right with God, then all you need is a local church. You don't need a big denomination. You don't need big seminaries. You don't need big organizations. If the local church is doing what it's supposed to do, it ought to take care of everything that the Christian needs. Now look at Romans chapter 12. Along the same line, Paul's speaking about it again. And beginning at verse 4, Romans 12, 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. My hand does not do what my eyes do. My eyes do not do what my mouth does. My mouth does not do what my feet do. I need all of them. Anything goes wrong, I'm crippled. If your eyes aren't working right, you're crippled. If your hand's not working right, you're crippled. If your mind's not working right, you're crippled. We need the whole thing in the bodies, and the church is a body. So we need all of these different gifts, and they need to be exercised and used. All right, so we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. You are not independent. In spite of that you're from Texas and the United States of America, you are not John Wayne. You do need the cavalry to back you up every once in a while. You're not the Lone Ranger. Even he had the Indian friend, Tonto, Kimosabe. Everyone members one of another. We in the church need each other, so we need to fellowship each other. We need to talk to each other. We need to bless each other. Now, you got to be careful, because some people are gossips. Yeah, I learned a long time ago, you got to be careful who you tell anything to. I learned that young. This is a secret. Don't tell anybody this secret. This is just between me and you, right? And it comes back 3 days later from some other direction. It's already spread everywhere. I don't know how many people I've told, okay, just don't tell anybody else. Just forget it. You got it right with God. They got to tell the whole world. They just got to tell the whole world. It's an amazing thing. There are gossips around, so watch out. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. The gifts that we have are given to us by the grace of God, not because we deserved it. Not because we are just so talented in ourselves. The human pride is an amazing thing. Okay, you got a gift of prophecy. One gift of prophecy is foretelling the future. You have the prophecy of the apostles and prophets right here in the Bible. Other gift of prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 said, it's speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. If you have the gift of prophecy, you can speak and comfort somebody. You can speak and edify somebody, or you can speak and exhort somebody to go on a little further, do a little better. So that's a gift. All right, how about ministry? Verse 7. That's waiting on people. Waiting on people. Doing things for people. Are you a minister? They call my job a ministry. They call me a minister. And I'm a professional minister, so to speak. But actually, everybody that serves somebody else by one means or another is a minister, and we all are ministers. And Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve, to minister. So if we're going to be anything like the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be serving somebody besides ourselves. If the only people you serve is your husband, your wife, your kids, your family, you're not doing much for the church. Yes, you ought to serve them. Yes, you ought to be a blessing to them. But you ought to be a blessing to other people too. And then he said, last verse 7 is teaching. Some people have a gift for teaching and others don't. You know that. Some of you tried to teach school and didn't like it. Didn't go over too well. Others, I've seen a little old woman not 5 foot tall handle the biggest football players you ever saw in your life in her English class, and you better not step out of line. That woman was a teacher. And for 45 years she taught, and nobody brooked her. 5 foot, man, she didn't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. But she spoke with authority and she knew her subject. I was an English teacher and it was my first year. And I was in a hurry one day and I assigned an assignment that I had not looked over. And I assigned it to outline it. Compound complex sentences, which I felt very comfortable to handle. Next morning, I walk in and I'm getting ready. I'm outlining them. I couldn't outline them. They were poetry. What in the world? Man. Well, there's this old woman. She's always there before 7 o'clock every morning, you know. She's been teaching 45 years. This is my first year. I went over and said, Miss So-and-so, may I please have a little of your attention? Yes, how can I help you, Mr. Kincaid? I said, I signed these and I can't even outline them myself. Well, let me see them. And she put them up on the board, and I copied them very quickly. She'd say, this is an elliptical phrase. You got to put this here. You know, man, I'm looking at that. You know what? I learned a lesson my first year teaching. Don't assign what you haven't read first. Well, see, she could handle that. She was a teacher, man. That gal was a teacher. Elliptical phrases and poetic things. She could just draw a line here and put it there. This is this. Some people have a gift for teaching. Some people don't. If you got a gift for teaching, use it. On exhorting, some people can encourage people to do better. On giving, let him do it with simplicity. Don't brag, hey, I'm going to give this much money. Brag on me and put a brick in the wall with my name on it. No, do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth with diligence, and he showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now look at the attitude in verse 9. From 9 on to about 15, we're talking about attitude. And attitude is almost all of life. Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation is false, putting on. Let your love be real. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You know how brothers love? They fight like cats and dogs, but whenever somebody else jumps in, the two brothers join. It's amazing. I've seen it happen over and over and over. Don't you get in between two brothers and take one side or the other. You're in deep trouble because blood's going to be thicker than water when it all comes down to washing everything up. I guarantee you they're going to stick. Okay, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them and do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Attitude makes all the difference in the world. And some of you are miserable this day and have been miserable this week, and it's only your attitude. It is not your circumstances. I've seen people in the same circumstances. One of them's praising God and the other one's cursing God. I've gone to visit people that have lost, had tremendous tragedy in their life, and they're bitter, they're mad at God, they wonder why God did this, they're never going to serve God again. And I've gone to others who are praising God and thanking God and rejoicing in His salvation and His mercy and understanding that they can't handle everything. Attitude. Attitude. You've got a gift. The church needs the gift. You need to exercise that gift, and you need to do it with the right kind of attitude and the right kind of love. Now, that's what I didn't get to last week. Let's see if I can get to what I want to this week. All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. I am convinced, and this goes along with attitude, I am convinced that one of the biggest problems of the church today, and maybe throughout history, is attitude. We're a bunch of babies that are complaining, still complaining because somebody's got our toy. He's in my room. He touched my things. You know how you, as a parent, you get tired of that? I got the place a few times, I just spanked everybody. I don't know who's wrong, but I'm going to get the one that's wrong and the rest of you are going to suffer. Boy, sometimes you got too many of them, you know. You're all bad anyway. Say you're innocent this time. Well, you're just getting it for the time I missed you. I am convinced that the two things that ought to be coming out of the mouths of born-again Christians are thanksgiving and praise.
Amen.
And I'm convinced not enough of it comes out of our mouths. We complain at the job. Everybody else complains at the job. You complain at the job. You complain at your salary. You complain at gas. Man, I paid $1.54 for gas. Drove down the road and it's $1.51. I complained about that. How come I bought it at the place it was $1.54? Well, I was happy when I drove by one. It was $1.62. We spend our time complaining. We got it better than any people that have ever lived. Ever lived. If you know any history, you know, you are some of the most spoiled, blessed people that ever were born. Nobody but a rich man in history past ever lived like you lived. And today in this world, there are 2 billion Chinese. You know, most of them don't live like you live. Just about 1 billion Indians, and they don't live like you live. About 1/4 of the world is Chinese. What about all the people in South America? Do you realize what a small percentage of the elite, the rich, the blessed, the free that you are? And you complain, well, we're spending too much money on our army. Well, you better have an army. Or those suckers will run you. You know why they're blowing up things? Because they don't want you to have your freedom, and they don't want you to be Christians. And if they had control, you think we'd have this church? Yes, it's going to take some lives of some of our young men, and we're going to hurt. But it's cost. You ever found any time in history where people didn't have to pay for things with their lives? I haven't. I'm a history teacher. Got a master's in history. Loved it. I hated history in high school. Loved it in college. Loved teaching it. Listen, you can learn something. The rest of the world does not have what you have, and you spend your time complaining. You're a born-again Christian in a land that allows Christianity. You're a born-again Christian. You have a Bible in your hand. You don't even read. You got instructions for life right here. Now, I know, when you put something together, you don't ever read the instructions. That's the way you do your life. You don't read the instructions either.
Right, amen.
We got some instructions. That's a dull book. It's not a dull book. That's too long a book. Well, that New Testament, my friend, is just like a novel. It's not that big.
Right.
You can read it through in one night.
That's right, amen.
250 pages, no problem. You could read it if you wanted to.
Right.
I knew an evangelist that read the New Testament completely through between revival meetings. He wanted to be fresh every time he went into a new revival meeting, so he read the New Testament through on his way. Sometimes on the bus at night, he'd read the New Testament. How much do you read the Bible? You got it. Man, you can go to Walmart and buy it. Why, churches will give them away to you free. We got some back there. You don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Not a problem. Why do we spend our time complaining? I think because we have too much. We got it too good. And because we have it too good, we don't appreciate what we have. I told you about my dad and mom, and I'm a Depression kid. I was born in the Depression, grew up in the Depression, and in World War II. And my folks and a whole lot of folks really went through some real disappointing times and years. What are your disappointments going to do to you? You got little ones today. They split marriages. Little ones today, and some daddy gets so frustrated he beats up and smashes his kid's head against the wall, kills it. Man, what in the world is wrong? We're not thinking straight. Now, their experiences sweeten them. Also let them prioritize. There's some things did not matter to my mother and daddy at all. I didn't understand why they didn't. They mattered to me. Why did it matter to them? They had been through the tough times where you had to decide what was important. Because you couldn't have everything. You can just about have everything. Want a new car? Give up something else. You can get a new car. You want a big house? Okay, both of you go to work, take two jobs apiece. Well, you can get you a big house. No problem. We are so rich. We ought to be thankful. But we complain because we're not rich as somebody else. I mean, I'm not as rich as Mr. Jones here. I'm trying to stay up with the Joneses. Well, I'm getting further and further behind her and behind her the further I go. And it's going to get worse before it gets better because I'm slowing down. Praise. Praise. Now look at this verse. By him, that's Jesus. Therefore, that's a conclusion. You got me so far? It's a verse. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I used to have a young lady in the church, young wife, and every time I'd say, praise thee, Lord, she would correct me. You're not praising. You're just telling others to praise. Praise the Lord. I said, well, I'm personally praising the Lord, but if it'll make you feel happy, I'll say, praise you, Lord. Notice what it says here. The sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise. Do you know, when I just bought a new car, I can praise the Lord without it being any sacrifice at all. When I've got a new baby and it's healthy and everything's home and I just become a grandfather, oh yeah, I can praise the Lord. It's no sacrifice. When is it a sacrifice? When it costs you something. When it costs you something. By him, by Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And when should we do this? Continually. Continually. How often is that? Look it up in the dictionary. Continually? Get an education, man. Continually? That's all the time. Christians shouldn't be a bunch of grumpy things walking around with a sour look on their face and blah, 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 blah. No, they'll say, hallelujah, praise Amen. God, I'm alive. You get as old as I am, just getting up gives you a reason to praise. I woke up another day, hallelujah. Now, what is this praise? He defines it for you here. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. That is, in other words, let me define it for you. That's what it says in the Greek. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Some of you quiet ones say, I praise the Lord all the time, but I just don't ever say it out loud. You can't fulfill this verse if you don't say it out loud.
That's right.
It's the fruit of your lips.
Amen. That's right.
It's the fruit of your lips. It's words coming out of your mouth. It's your lips and tongue forming words and saying, Jesus is great.
Amen.
Now, let me say something about praise. We around here, we say praise the Lord a lot, whatever, and I used to practice it because that wasn't natural to me. So I'd be driving down the road on the way to someplace, I'm saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to get my tongue used to saying it. Do you know that's not the only way you praise?
Right.
One of the two best principals I ever worked with was that man right over there, Ernesto Longoria. He was good. You know what? He's still good. There you go. You know what I just did? I praised him. I didn't say, praise Longoria, praise Longoria. Did I? Praise Jesus, praise you. That's all right. But I didn't say that. I said he was good at his job. I had a lot of principals over a number of years. And I'll tell you what, there's only one other man close to him. I praised him. You don't have to say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise Jesus, praise you, Lord, praise God, to say praise. Someone said, oh, that's a nice shirt. Well, they praised me, my shirt. I don't wear coats and ties, so I don't mind a new shirt. Well, that's nice. That's praise. Someone says, your hair looks real great the way it is. Don't you like my hair? You people are so critical. Now, I like your hair. God only made a few beautiful heads, the rest he covered with hair. Praise is bragging on someone. If you want to praise the Lord, brag on him. If the people at work hear you bragging on what Jesus has done for you, that's praise.
Amen. That's right.
Ought to be, you don't have to say hallelujah, glory to God, praise God, or some religious term like that. What you do is give thanks to his name.
That's right. Amen.
You give thanks because of what he's done for you. You change your life and you tell people why you changed your life. It's because Jesus came into your life and made a difference to you. If you're here and you're not saved, I know you don't understand what I'm talking about, but let me tell you something. Jesus can save your soul and change your life. He can do it today.
Amen.
He did it for me in one day, the first day of September 1957. That's when I got saved. And my friend said, oh, you just got a bad dose of religion. You'll get over it in a couple of weeks. What is this going to be? 47 years of being saved next week? Woo! I don't think I look like I'm 47. Oh, well. Sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let's go through some verses. Look, if you will, in 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 30. 1 Chronicles 23, 30.
and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. They made a group of professional singers to stand at the temple and praise God every morning, and thank God every morning, and praise God every evening, and thank God every evening. That's Jews. Well, I'll tell you what, as a Christian, you got more to thank God for than any Jew in the country.
Amen. Right.
You are blessed. All right, turn with me, if you will, to the Psalms. Psalms 119, verse 164. Psalm 119, 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. One time I was preaching on marriage, and I told him, I said, you know what y'all do? Y'all tell your wife you love her seven times a day. And one of my members come back the next week, and he says, I did it. I said, I got up in the morning, and he said, I love you, 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 I love you. I did it seven times a day. Not exactly what I meant, but he did do it. Seven times a day do I praise thee. Well, seven is a number of completeness. That's almost like continually, isn't it? About the same thing, but I tell you what, just get in seven. Get in seven. If you don't get 45 in, get in seven. Seven times a day do I praise thee. Because of thy righteous judgment. Now look at Psalm 119 again, and verse 108. Accept, I beseech you, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. The free will offerings of my mouth. Now, some of you are so tight you can't give money. Are you so poor of soul you can't give praise? God help you. Well, some of you are too tight for that. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that awful? I mean, you won't give your money, you won't give your praise. What good are you anyway? You ever thought about that? You're not worth much. I was visiting somebody one time, talking to him about coming to church, and he said, you don't want me. I said, what do you mean? You told me one time, you don't want me. When did I ever tell you I didn't want you? You said, if you're not going to come regular, if you're not going to give and you're not going to pray, we don't need you. I said, you're right, I don't want you. What good are you? I got a whole lot of those members that don't show up. They're not much good to us. The free will offerings. How about free will offerings? You do it because you want to do it. You don't do it because you have to do it. You're not taxed to do it. It's the free will offerings of my mouth. Something's coming out of your lips. Something comes out of you that says, Jesus is wonderful.
Amen.
Christianity is a great thing. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I wouldn't go back and be lost in the condition you're in for nothing.
Amen.
Almost 47 years ago, God did something good for me. And you know, as some of you that know me very well know, I can drop into my testimony at any day, at any time. Some of you know it so well, you can give my testimony for me. That's all right. It's my testimony. Look at Psalm 51, David, in verse 15. Psalm 51 and verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. What comes out of your lips when you open your mouth? Now just think back. Think back this week. What came out of your lips when you opened your mouth? That's a shame, isn't it? Was it praise? Was it thanksgiving? Was it praise? It ought to have been. If you had the right attitude, you had your mind in the right place, it'd be thanksgiving and praise. Has God done anything for you to be thankful for? If you never had a good day the rest of your life, if you're saved, God's done something for you to give thanks for. So quit your complaining. Let your mouth be open and let it show forth His praise. Now look at Psalm 33, verse 1. Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Now that's an old word that means good looking. If my daddy had told my mother, that's a comely dress. That's comely on you. That means it looked good. It favored you. It flattered you. Was comely. What is comely for a Christian? Praise.
Amen.
Praise is comely for a Christian. If you were looking for a group of people to get close to, would you want to be with that bunch of sour pussies over in the corner? Or this bunch of people singing and laughing and praising God and thanking? It's just natural. I like to be with somebody who's enjoying themselves. You know, as a preacher, for just about 47 years, I've listened to most everybody's types of complaints and sins. You name it. I've heard it. Well, I ain't going to say that because you might give me something new today. And I don't want anything new today. But you know, and I can handle that. That's my job. That's all right. That's what I'm supposed to do. But you know, it sure is nice to hear people's praise. Sure is nice to knock on a door and somebody say, I'm saved. I took Christ as my Savior, repented of my sins. He saved me 1 year ago, 5 years ago, whatever. I'm in a fellowship of believers over here somewhere. I'm praising God. I'm raising my kids in the right. That's sure nice. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, Jesus did a wonderful thing for me. That's beautiful. That's praise. That's what he said right here. He said, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for thee. It just looks good on you. It looks good on you. It's attractive. It's attractive. It's not ugly. It's not gross. It's beautiful. And you hear a great big old football player, you know, he's in, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
National television. I like that.
Amen.
I'll take that. Yeah, there's a few of those guys that are saved. Very few, but there are a few that are saved. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. How often? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How often? Continually. All the time. Every time. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I think it was Brian teaching here, preaching one day. He said, when I was little, my daddy could whip anybody's daddy. I remember thinking the same thing. Oh, my daddy could whip your daddy. Little boys get out in between the driveways and brag on whose daddy can beat up the other's daddy. They boast. Now, the daddies would not like to have to put it to the proof. Okay? They're older and smarter and wiser than that. They don't want to have to say whose daddy could whip this or whose daddy was the smartest, whose daddy had the biggest car or the biggest house or whatever, the biggest gun. We do a lot of boasting. How about boasting in the Lord? You know, you can't boast too much in the Lord.
That's right.
Now, you can boast too much in any preacher you know or any football player you know or any movie star you know or any politician. You can boast too much for them. You can't boast too much in the Lord because you can't get anything bigger he couldn't do. He says he can do more than you can think or imagine. You can't even imagine what he can do. What in the world would you do? You boast in the Lord. That's a good place. Brag on Jesus.
Amen.
That's praise. Now notice, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And he's talking about the soul. And somebody says, okay, see, that's inside. That's the soul. That's spirit. And that's right. God looks on the heart. But he says, the humble shall hear thereof. How are they going to hear the boast of your soul? Woo! We got back to the lips again, didn't we? Oh, your old tongue and your old mouth got to say praise to the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord Jesus. I'm saved by his grace. That's beautiful. He said, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. How in the world are the humble going to hear thereof? It means you got to open up your mouth and tell somebody about it.
Right.
Well, magnify the Lord with me. Hey, we can do it together. Let us exalt his name together.
Amen.
All right. Look, if you will, at Psalm 63, beginning at verse 3. Psalm 63, beginning at verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Do you know that's true? You ought to memorize this verse.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to know this verse by heart. You ought to have it marked in your Bible. You ought to be able to see it. Just as soon as you turn that page, it ought to come onto that verse. Because it's so true. Because your loving kindness is better than life. The loving kindness of the Lord's better than life.
Amen.
Better than living. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. You better do it now. Everybody's going to be doing it in heaven. You better do it now. Not everybody's doing it now. I mean, you can get in some good credits down here right now. You can do a good work right now. Thus will I bless thee. Will I. Thus will I bless thee while I live. As long as he lets me live, I will bless him. I lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 71. Verse 8. You get the picture, maybe you ought to be doing more praising than criticizing.
Amen.
You get the picture, you ought to be doing more thankfulness and praising than trying to teach everybody how good you are and how bad they are.
Right.
Do you reckon something ought to be coming out of your mouth?
Yes, amen.
Oh, my sorry husband, he didn't do me this way. My sorry wife, she didn't do this. My sorry this. No. You ought to be praising and thanking God. You ought to be praising and thanking God. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honor all the day. Let my mouth. Buddy, that is not inward. That is not in the mind. That is not down the soul. I hope it comes up from the soul, but it comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
You ought to open your mouth and tell what Jesus has done for you. You ought to open your mouth and say how good he's been to you. You ought to open your mouth and be thankful for all the things you've got. Now look at verses 14 and 15, same Psalm, Psalm 71. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. What I want you to learn to do? Praise him more and more. Look at verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. I know not the numbers thereof. My mouth is going to be a witness. My mouth is going to give testimony to the grace of God that Jesus Christ can save sinners. And when he does, he changes our life. If you got a little bit of religion and it didn't change you much, you didn't get saved. You better wake up. And call on the Lord, repent of your sins, ask him to save your soul, he'll do it.
Amen.
Look at verse 23 and 24. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame that seek my hurt. My lips and my tongue. Habakkuk, whichever way you want to pronounce it. It's tough either way. It's before Zephaniah. That's before Haggai and Malachi and Zechariah. Habakkuk chapter 3. Here's a tremendous verse. Man, I've had to go to this one crying a few times in my life. Oh Lord. And read this. Verse 17, 3:17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the herd, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Is it that bad at your place right now? You sure it's not that bad at your... The way some of you sound, I think it's that bad at your place. The look on some of your faces, it must be that bad at your place. Is it that bad at your place? Really? I've seen some bad days. I've seen some bad years, but I've never seen anything like this.
Right.
Fig tree not going to blossom. No fruit in the vines. Labor of the olive is going to fail. Fields are going to yield no meat. The flocks cut off from the fold. No herd in the stalls. And yet, what does Habakkuk say? Yet, this is a sacrifice of praise. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
This life isn't that important. I know you think it is.
I know you think the job, the money, the success, that's what's important. My happiness, I'm just not happy today. Who cares? Get happy. Good night. It's an attitude. Get a good attitude. Get a good attitude, you can meet anything in life. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. All right, turn to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Paul was praying about going into Asia, all those millions in Asia. There hadn't been a lot of people in Asia in Paul's day. I'm going to head for Asia and preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit told him no. Now, I don't know how he told him no. But Paul knew, he said no. He said, well, I'm going to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit told him no. Now again, I don't know how, with an audible voice, a dream at night, or just a strong impression on his mind. But he told him no. He knew it was the Holy Spirit telling him no. Then he has a dream. Here's this Macedonian soldier stood up out there. He recognized him, man. He knew that's a Macedonian. And the Macedonian said, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And he got up the next morning, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called him to go to Macedonia. Now, you talk about being in the will of God. You talk about having a call of God. He had them both. They go over there to Philippi, and they start preaching, and good night, they're having tremendous crowds. Oh, but they made some people mad. And they took them and put 39 lashes across their back and dropped them down in the bottom dungeon. Time to cry, right? Time to complain. How many of you said, I thought this was your will, Lord? Oh, Lord, this couldn't be your will. It takes faith to do the will of God. And I guarantee you, the minute you step out to do God's will, something's going to happen to make you think it's not. Make you think it's not God's will, and then you're going to have to walk on faith. And faith is like stepping out in the dark. Trusting nothing but the light of God's word, not what you can see. But these guys didn't do that. I don't know when they were thrust in the stocks. I don't know how many hours it took them to come to the place. Their feet are in stocks. Their back is bleeding with 39 lashes. 40 was excessive punishment to the Romans. 39 is what you could get. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard. That's Christianity, friend. That's the bottom line. That's where you ought to be. It's where you ought to grow to be. And if you're up and complaining and murmuring now, you're getting up and telling everybody your sad stories. Poor you. You had a wreck. Poor you. You didn't have food too much yesterday. Poor you. Somebody got mad at you and fussed at you. Poor you. Somebody threw a rock at you. Poor you. Somebody didn't think you were very special. Poor you, you're not the best looking kid in your class. No big deal. You belong to Jesus?
Amen.
Are you saved? Well, we're going to have a praise meeting tonight. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to come. We believe in praise. We believe in thanksgiving. We don't practice it near enough. If I was you, I'd get real good at thanking and praising before I got real good at criticizing and gossiping. You got to listen, a whole lot better way to go.
That's right.
Whew. What ought to be coming out of our lips? I'm saved.
Amen.
I don't know about you. My friends didn't think it would take, but it took. I'm vaccinated. I'm marked. I got the vaccination there. They tell me it's no good anymore. It's been too many years ago. I'll have to have another one, I guess. But I've been marked by Jesus Christ. He marked my mind. He marked my life. He changed my life.
Thank you, Lord.
I repented of my sins. I knew I was a wicked sinner headed for hell. I knew that's exactly where I was headed. I needed a Savior. And you know what I did? In the front bedroom of a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, I wasn't in a church service. I got on my knees, asked God to forgive me, confessed my sins. And in that front bedroom of that little trailer house, God saved my soul and changed my life. It's never been the same since. I've had some rough years. I've let the Lord down a few times.
But oh, I tell you, it's never been the same. I got saved. I have something to praise God for.
Amen.
And if they cut my legs off tomorrow and I go blind, have Alzheimer's, and you come around and I'm just slobbering in the nursing home, I'm still praising God.
Amen.
You may not see it on the outside. I may not even think it, but I'm willing to praise God right now.
Amen.
Lord bless you.